And I think it had two or three grounds, certainly two, in the centre of Welwyn Garden City before it moved to Digswell Park, which I believe I'm right in saying was 1928. In the two grounds, one was sort of down, I suppose, somewhere near the Howard Centre, Longcroft Lane Parkway area. And the earlier one, I believe, was where the roundabout where the old Welwyn Stores was, between perhaps the old Welwyn Stores and the new one, which is now John Lewis, of course. That's conjecture, really. Yeah, it was lovely. I mean, I don't think the facilities were very good, but and they probably weren't very good anywhere else.
No,
true. Yes, I think I was 15. I was home from school on holiday. And by coincidence, the club had a very flourishing Wednesday 11, which was built around so many people working in retail and so on, had a half day on Wednesday, and a lot of clubs in the county operated a Wednesday 11, as they were called. And our milkman was the captain of the Wednesday 11. His name was Cyril Kimpton. His picture is actually in that brochure at some place. And he sort of said, well, you know, you're home from holiday, you might as well come and play cricket on Wednesday, which is precisely what I did. And that was my first sort of finding out about some of the other sort of main county grounds. I mean, I remember we played at Hitchin and Bishop Stortford and places like that, all still, you know, top quality grounds. That was fun. Much enjoyed by everybody who partook. I would have been undoubtedly the youngest. Oh, I suppose they were chaps, a lot of them around 40. The facilities at Digswell, I mean, obviously I don't know what they had in the first games, cricket grounds. Probably didn't have anything at all. They might have had a shed, I suppose. But the pavilion that I remember at Digswell, which I suppose I would have started remembering it somewhere about the time that brochure was, you know, before 1950, playing in it in the early 50s, I suppose. I mean, it was awful. I mean, it had a central sort of area where you had tea and so on, a little tiny hutch, and I could only describe it as a hutch, where they served the beer from. Two dressing rooms on either side, and I think that there was a washham basin somewhere at the back. And, you know, it was one of those ghastly places. You remember when you used to walk around and you got splinters in your feet all the time? I mean, you couldn't walk around without shoes on. That horrible sort of wood that just splintered everywhere. But they did very well. They had, there was a little kitchen at the end and a hatch, so that that was lifted at sort of middle of the afternoon. And lots of people would come and watch, and they'd buy a cup of tea and a bit of cake. And it actually made a bit of money for the club and was much enjoyed, in fact. Don't see that happening at cricket clubs very much now. There were no lavatories in the pavilion at all. They were there was two sheds, male and female, out the back. You had to negotiate waist-high nettles and whatnot to get at them. And when you did get to them, you wanted to leave
very rapidly.
Very rapidly. Ghastly. And I mean, the pavilion was rebuilt, of course, mid 1960s, I think it. Well, you see, in those days, if you wanted to get selected for the team, either team, first 11 or second 11, you were expected to attend rolling duty on Tuesdays, which would marry up with net practice. Well, you didn't want to do the net practice at all, because it was a concrete strip with some torn and very ribby coconut matting, to be perfectly honest, it was more dangerous than doing nothing at all, so it wasn't very popular. But we did go down, and there was a great big heavy roller, I don't know what it was, more than a ton I should think, with great big pushing bars on either end of it, and whichever way you were pushing, you did. And it's five or six blokes would push it up and down religiously for an hour or two every Tuesday night. The wickets were very poor in those days, because we didn't understand anything like as much about the agronomy of grass growing as we do now, and we didn't have the equipment to look after it. And it was deemed that a a heavy roller, a motorised roller, was what was required. And I was certainly around the forefront of the time that that was provided. We bought it from second hand, it might have been third or fourth hand for all I know, from a firm in Luton. And the name has just gone out of my mind for the moment. Anyway, they were agricultural machinery people. And the owner of the company was a player for Luton, and he was a captain of Bedfordshire and so on. So he was well known, and he got us this roller. It broke the bank, cost £100, you know, it was a terrible amount of money. But it made much, much better flatter wickets for a number of years. It took a little bit of time, that what was then understood, of course, after a few years, it got so compacted that the grass wouldn't grow, and the sort of phrase that one used was the top came off, and really what happened is it dusted up. You know, we had to go through another whole set of systems to regrow the grass. Which, who did I talk to you about? I probably mentioned Leslie Bateman, Dr. Leslie Bateman, who was a very fine player and a very astute captain and a very fine county player. He captained the side up until, I suppose, the late 50s. It may not have been quite as long as that, because he had a very high profile job in rubber research. I mean, he was in fact a fellow of the Royal Society, and his work took him to Malaya. You know, he would spend most of his time there. The family didn't go, he would come back from time to time. But he lost a lot of cricket as a result of that. He was probably the best player by far of that generation. There was another very good cricketer, Dennis Carnell, who sadly died about a month ago at the age of 90. But he was mainly a hockey player. He captained the Great Britain hockey side at three Olympic Games, 1952, 56 and 60. But there is a record which he and Leslie Bateman set for the county, playing against Norfolk in about 1953, where they scored 333 without being defeated for the sixth wicket. That is still stands as a record in minor county cricket to this day. Bateman made 192 not out, and Carnell 167 not out. Well, that's probably, I would have thought, one of the real highlights of the club's history, but I honestly haven't been there for years.